This is VSiN at the Track. Now here's your hosts, Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman.
Welcome in here, VSiN at the Track. Same time, new day, Thursday here instead of Fridays. We're going to be switching over, so a little more time for the content to be able to sit when we talk about these big weekend stakes races. Aaron Halterman, fun weekend that we've got coming up. Actually excited about what we're doing here. We're going to do a Penn National preview that pushed back. We'll talk about that a little later, but how's your Friday going, buddy?
Well, it's Thursday, and it's going well, Somich. It's going very
That's
well.
Right.
You already screwed it up. No, doing great. I definitely excited for the show. I think we have some stuff today that's very unique. I don't see a lot of discussions around a couple items we're going to talk about. We're also going to, you know, have a very cool segment kind of at the end that I'll let you explain. But yeah, I think this is going to be an awesome show. I'm definitely excited to kind of see how things shake out for the show today.
And look at you again, professional. Let's talk about what's coming up here on VSiN at the Track. We're going to talk a little about Churchill Downs and the drama that we had over around Fairgrounds, talk about why that happened, how it happened. Obviously, discuss a little bit of the Penn Mile, what happened there. Baeza making a decision around the Haskell. We got Royal Ascot running. Then we're going to talk about synthetic tracks. Might trigger a couple people here, Aaron, but we're going to talk about synthetic tracks and specifically what's going on up in New York. Preview both the Chicago Stakes and the Ohio Derby. And then we're going to have a little Breeders' Cup Classic draft. We wanted to talk about the best older horses now that we've got these three-year-olds in the mix after the Triple Crown. We'll see who we like. And then the best bets coming up for the weekend as well. So absolutely loaded show, Aaron. We'll start off with Churchill Downs. And I've been, I would say, fairly vocal that I'm not a huge CDI fan, especially with what they've done or did to Arlington, the turf course that we saw at Churchill for multiple years there. Now we have a run-in down at Fairgrounds. I actually don't think this is fully their fault. So I don't know how much of the background that you're aware of it, but I want to make sure everyone knows out there. There was legislation passed in the Louisiana Supreme Court, which meant that you couldn't have a specific style of slot machine in the OTBs, which Churchill Downs then pushed against because that's been how they've been able to fund a lot of these, a lot of the purses that we're seeing down at Fairgrounds. I'm happy we have a resolution. And it's one of those situations where it's like, hey, look, CDI is publicly traded. They have to make money. And that puts them in a tough spot in certain cases here. So I'm not entirely against CDI here. I'm just happy we have some type of resolution.
Yeah, I agree. Closing down Fairgrounds would be incredibly bad. I mean, it is like one of the oldest, it may be the oldest and longest running track in the United States, actually. It's been around forever. And closing that up would look horrible. But, you know, Churchill Downs is no stranger to that. Like you said, closing down Arlington, among others. So, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, what people, I think, struggle to realize is a horse racing business is no longer just about horse racing. The casinos and the slot machines tied in with the horse racing is what really makes, you know, a company profitable over the long haul. And, you know, Churchill Downs, like you said, they're publicly traded, and they really just, they have to care about just the bottom line. That's it. How are we going to make the most money for the people that essentially own this company? And so it does kind of, the lines get blurred a little bit because at one time, you know, in one instance, I should say, you say it's Churchill Downs. You know, they are horse racing. Like when you think about horse racing, you do think Churchill Downs before almost anything else. And so they need to be all about horse racing and how can we make this the greatest product ever? But the other and the flip side of it is a business. It's a huge business. It is publicly traded, like you said, so they've got to go to the other side of it. And unfortunately, anytime their profit margins are with, like, you know, in range of getting hurt, they're going to make the decision best for them and not maybe sometimes best for the racetrack or horse racing. So that's kind of my take on it. I know that's probably not going to be a great, you know, thing for people to hear, but that is kind of the reality, I guess I should say, of what's going on.
Yeah, look, CDI is a $6 billion with a B dollar company. So they've got to make sure that they protect their stock. It's my biggest gripe against horse racing is that we are not treated like a professional sport. You don't have these individual owners with an overarching governing body. You have essentially three or four major corporations that run every racetrack across the U.S. And that makes it very difficult for them to agree because they're all competing for the dollar. So they're competing against each other, and that's making it difficult for them to be able to, you know, make some common sense decisions. Penn Mile pushes back. It was supposed to be tomorrow night. We're going to see that run later in the year now. What do you think of this decision? The major four races on the turf, they were supposed to get rain yesterday and today. Do you think this was the right move to push it back yet again? This is a second reschedule.
You know, it's hard for me to say no, because they ran it 1 year slopping it off, and it's just like, this is their biggest night, and now they're off the turf, and they ran it, and there's like four horses in these big races, and it's like, this is terrible. The problem is, it's like, there is kind of a situation now where it's like, guys, you got to run it at some time. We're now, I think they're going to run next week, so we're now over a month away from when they originally were decided to run it. Here's the other bad thing about this, and this is what I hate about this. A lot of those horses that were scheduled to run on the turf Belmont day, that either, you know, the races got canceled or they took them off the turf, they were coming down to run. I hope they stay another week and run, because those fields that we were going to talk about, they actually had a lot of stars in it, like a Zulu Kingdom as an example. So, you know, I think it was the right decision. You don't want to run it off the turf. It kind of defeats the purpose. But at the same time, it is, they're almost to a point now. It's like, you got to just do it eventually.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man, because I do like Penn National specifically on this one night. It's a fun stakes pick four. We're going to cover it for this show. Maybe we'll cover it next week. We'll have to see how everything plays out. But as you mentioned, these horses, they're just kind of being shifted around because of the rain that we've seen on the East Coast. So a lot of those horses that were going to run, now we'll see if we're going to get the same entries a week later. So we'll keep an eye on that, keep you posted next week as well here on VSiN at the Track. Baeza making a decision, sort of. It's the Haskell, or he's going to stay at home. So really no big major news here, but Baeza's next decision going to be the Haskell or not. Where do you think he ends up?
Look, I think he's going to stay at home because he's trained by John Sheriffs, and that's what he does. You know, he just doesn't get real aggressive outside of his home track. So I kind of think he's going to stay at home. I wouldn't be surprised if they're just real patient and running him in a race like the Shared Belief towards the end of August. He's a horse that kind of needs to grow up a little bit, so I think that makes a little bit of sense for him. But look, I think he's going to be, you know, in races against other horses out there in California. And I don't think he's going to leave, because the Breeders' Cup Classic is in Del Mar this year. That's out in San Diego. So I kind of think they're going to take the approach, hey, we've got a horse that's developing. He still needs to grow mentally. I think he stays in California. But here's kind of the opposite thought of it, and why I do think if he was trained by a little bit more of an aggressive trainer, the Haskell would make a ton of sense, because here's the deal. He's proven he's better than everybody else, but Journalism and Sovereignty, right? Journalism and Sovereignty are not going to be at the Haskell. If Baeza showed up at the Haskell, he would be a strong favorite in that race. So I do think that's why John Sheriffs kept that window open, because it makes a lot of sense. And if this horse is doing well, the Haskell is a target where he could go win a grade one race.
If Baeza ends up in the Haskell, I will be betting him. I think he should be a pretty heavy favorite, because if Sheriff decides to send him, it means the horse is good to go. And as you mentioned, we're not going to have the big names, or at least the two very big names, on top of the odds board there in the Haskell. So we'll see how that develops. Royal Ascot going right now. We'll go through this one pretty quickly, but if you've never watched Royal Ascot, it's a lot of fun. Don't bet a lot of money on it. It's very hard to handicap. You've got 30 horse fields, but you know, you're a little trifecta boxes, those kind of things. Absolutely awesome. And it gives you a preview of what we're going to see from some of these European horses who come over for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's what I was going to say about this. It's like, look, it is fun to watch. It is a grand scene, you know, Royal Ascot and everything that goes with it. It's a beautiful racetrack. It's different style of racing. If they go a mile or less, they just run straight, which is definitely different from the United States. And they go longer, they do turn, but they run kind of the opposite, not kind of, they run the opposite way. So that's kind of cool as well. But yeah, don't go crazy on it, right? Watch it for the spectacle. Watch it to see some of the better performances in the big races over there. Like today, they ran a race called the Gold Cup. It's a 2.5 mile race. I mean, on the turf, how cool is that to kind of watch and see something different? But yeah, I don't go betting $200-$300 a race. You know what I mean? Just try to play your horses, try to play light, but it's always fun. It's only 5 days. It's Tuesday through Saturday, and then it's over. So it is a special time for racing. Definitely check it out. Yeah, don't bet your bank before noon on Royal Ascot.
No, it gets wild over there. It is the ultimate hit one and you're going to win type racetrack, though. If you're right once, yep. Usually it ends up pretty well for you. All right, let's talk about something I'm excited to chat with you here. As we've got Gulfstream running right now, they were one of the first tracks to kind of go to this. Let's add a synthetic track to the inside. And why is this relevant? Well, we know that Belmont currently under remodel, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we make sure that we have some turf racing in the winter, or turf-esque racing, keep the turf horses up there. They decide to move to a second track that's going to be synthetic. So there'll be dirt, synthetic, and turf. Now, if it rains and you rain off the turf, you can move that race to the synthetic. And turf horses generally are going to handle that synthetic track better, and you're not going to get as many scratches. It's what we've seen down at Gulfstream. Now, I love the Gulfstream synthetic because I think it is actually very easy to handicap. It's one of those tracks that has very specific biases depending on the distance that you're going. I know a lot of people do not like synthetic tracks, but I think this has to at least be brought up for discussion at this point, Aaron. And this is where it kind of gets interesting, because I think you should have a lot of these tracks have synthetic second tracks if you're able to have three. And that brings us to Saratoga, which has an inner turf, it's got an outer turf, it's got a dirt track. We saw the Belmont Festival get, I'm not going to say ruined, but definitely rained off a lot of these major races on the turf. We had to move turf races from Saturday to Sunday. It messed with the pick five, pick six, pick fours, all of these different things. Does Saratoga need to look at a synthetic track? Because it sure rains a lot in August in upstate New York.
You know, I think to start off, I think there's a lot of negative talk around a synthetic track because, you know, back, I don't know, about 10 or 15 years ago, Keeneland went to the main track was all synthetic. Santa Anita went to a main track that was all synthetic. And then all of a sudden you had a lot of dirt horses running on the synthetic surface. They'd never been on it before. It wasn't natural to them. And you had a lot of weird things happen in those races. And I think handicappers got a very negative idea. All these synthetic tracks, they're ruining horse racing. But here's the deal, and you laid it out perfectly. I am clearly not for the main track being synthetic at these places, but Gulfstream adding that synthetic track, if you play Gulfstream day in and day out, that thing really saves a lot of cards, because when it rains and you've got, let's say you got 10 horses that are on the turf and it rains and the race gets moved to the dirt, you might have three, maybe four. But if they go to the synthetic, these races are having 7, 8, 9 horses stay in, because there's a better chance that they, like you said, the turf horse will run well on the synthetic surface. Also, just carting a race just for the synthetic, usually they get bigger fields for those races, and that also will definitely help, you know, with your pick fours, your pick five payouts, and gives you another race that's attractive to bet. And I think you said the main thing. When Gulfstream put it in, everybody panicked. Everybody was like, oh, no, we'll never get this right. But it's turf horses moving to synthetic that is much easier to handicap than, okay, now all of our dirt horses are going to run on it. When you cart a race with a dirt, they're not moving it to the synthetic track. It's horses that have a much better chance if they move over from the turf to the synthetic that they're going to like that surface. And so the handicapping curve of this was very easy. And I think that the panic was just crazy about it. So, but then to go to your question, I never thought I would say this, but I think Saratoga needs to seriously think about it, because how many times that they run 40 races in a regular meet there over the summer, I bet you 15 cards out of the 40 have some sort of situation, whether it's all the races are off the turf or half of them get off the turf, and the cards really get ruined. If you had that synthetic track, I think you could hold together a lot more races, especially the lower levels, like the allowance races. I think those horses would just go right over there and run on it. So I'm kind of coming around to the fact that every track should have a third surface and it be synthetic, and they use it for situations like what we're talking about.
Yeah, Daryl Lou bringing up, I need to clarify the type of synthetic track, poly track, tapeta track. I would prefer tapeta if we do add a Saratoga track. Mm-hmm. And this sounds sacrilegious to me as someone who loves Saratoga. Even the idea of adding a tapeta track there and saying, okay, we're going to have, you know, because you have the inner and outer turf, they play very differently. So it's a unique two courses. The idea of taking one of those away and making it tapeta, it like I said, it sounds sacrilegious from one of the most cherished places in the world from a horse racing perspective. But man, then I think about it from a betting perspective, like it makes this so much better for the bettors if you do have that tapeta track up there, the synthetic track that you're able to run over and able to move these races from one to the other. It also gives you the option of saying, hey, we want to save the turf course for later. We can take the earlier races off, put them on tapeta, do it early so it doesn't affect the pick fours and pick fives once they've already started, and then still run our stakes races on the turf track. I can't believe I'm even thinking about this as a positive idea, But I'm really interested to see what happens after we see Belmont do it. Because once Belmont goes, I think Naira is a little more interested in saying, hey, maybe we do have Saratoga have one of the two turf tracks turn into a Tapeda track. There will be absolute chaos in the horse racing industry if they do it. It will be completely frowned upon. Everyone would hate it. We're going to catch some flack for just talking about this. I don't think it's a terrible idea, though, Aaron.
I don't either. And look, the Gulfstream thing is kind of what changed my mind. Because, again, you and I handicap these tracks every single day, right? Every day. And so when you get 2-3 months into that synthetic track being at Gulfstream, and you get up and you get your do your scratches in the morning, and you look and it's like, wow, they're off the turf and one horse is scratched. Wow, two horses have scratched. Now, yeah, maybe you have to go back and kind of relook at the race and what it looks like on synthetic now for the horses running, but you're not losing these races. And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, this actually makes sense. Belmont is a perfect example because of the weather and the winter there. They can't run on the turf at all. So Belmont makes total sense to have it. I'm with you. Like, I can't imagine walking into Saratoga and seeing a Tapeda track out there. Still, like, the old me is like, I kind of makes me want to throw up, seriously, to think about it.
Yep.
But when I'm sitting here on at my desk on a Friday and they've got six turf races carded and they all come off, I think I might sit here and go, you know what? That may have been a good idea because I still have a really nice card to watch and bet and have fun with. So I'm with you. It's kind of a weird stance that we both are in because we both know and understand the tradition of Saratoga and what that means.
Well, you just looked at Belmont weekend. That Belmont Saturday, you would have run every race on the Tapeda. You wouldn't have had a three-horse field in grade two races. You'd be able to decide, do we want to run the grade ones on the turf? We want to move them to Tapeda. Do we want to move them to the next day? It just gives you so many more options. I'm interested to see if it even becomes a discussion. I think it should at least be discussed, and then we'll see what happens there. But I can, like I said, it will cause a riot if they decide to actually make the move because people love Saratoga so much and the tradition around it. So we'll see what happens moving forward with this. But the Tapeda track at Saratoga, I think, is something that just back your mind. Start thinking about it. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility, especially since you have those two turf tracks. All right, Aaron, let's transition over here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stakes races this weekend, and we'll kick it off with the Ohio Derby from Thistle Downs. This is Saturday race number 12 on the card. Grade three, one of the, we call them the Mid-American Derbies, right? The three-year-olds that, you know, a little cut below, but still get their opportunity to run for a Derby. Interesting race here from Thistle. We've got your favorites in the sixth post there, Clever Again, who was a hyped horse in the Preakness, did not run in the Derby. Set the pace, quit out pretty badly after going fast early, 46 and changed 110 to 6 furlongs. Second choice going to be McAfee coming in from the Peter Pan up at Belmont at the Big A for Dutro. John Velasquez going to ride. Is this one of those situations where you're looking at the top two choices? Or are you going down the odds board a little bit more?
I'm going to go down the odds board just one more tick there. Like I said, Clever Again, 9-5, McAfee, 3-1. Chunk of Gold, 7-2. That's who I'm going to go with on top in this spot. I've never picked this horse to win. I've never been a huge, huge fan of this horse, to be quite honest. I handicapped this race for a long time, and I kept circling back to him, and I kept not wanting to. In a way, I was like, no, I don't want to pick this horse to win. He's a second-place horse. I think it's kind of this is the perfect race for him is how I just kept playing in my mind. He's a nice horse, you know, second in the Louisiana Derby, second in the Risen Star. The problem with both those races, he didn't really ever threaten to win. And that, I hate that in a horse, right? But he ran well. Then you look and go, okay, this is an easier spot, no doubt about it. I don't trust the number six Clever Again to get the distance. I also think the number 10 Moplex is going to press Clever Again. I think you're going to have a decently fast pace. And then I just kind of looked at it and said, do I like any of the long shots? Not really. They look a little bit overmatched. McAfee or Chunk of Gold? I think Chunk of Gold's a little bit better. So I ended up with a number two Chunk of Gold. I don't love it, as you could probably tell how I'm kind of describing it. I don't love this pick. But at the same time, I don't really want to back Clever Again at what I think will be a very short price. I don't want to back him to win because I'm just skeptical. And also, let's talk about mentally what happened to Clever Again, how he kind of got body checked in the Preakness. Not kind of, he did. You look at this and you go, he's a young horse. He's coming off a horrendous kind of trip or whatever you want to call it. How will he bounce back from that? It wasn't that long ago they ran that race. So that's a little bit of a worry for me as well. So anyway, number two Chunk of Gold. That's who I've got on top.
Yeah, you described this race well. It's a mess. I kept gravitating back toward Chunk of Gold too, and I'm not really happy about it. And so I'm not going to pick Chunk of Gold at 7-2. If Chunk of Gold was 6-1, I think I would have put Chunk of Gold on top. Clever Again at 9-5 is crazy sauce. I realize you've got the race two back that looks very good on paper, but the Moplex being in here, there is other speed in here. I just don't see him getting an easy lead. Without an easy lead, I find it hard to believe that Clever Again gets the distance. McAfee, I don't know. Like the 3-1 seems a little bit short because you look through with what the horse has done and you go through, you know, the different races for McAfee. And it's like, okay, great. We ran second in the Peter Panda Hill Road, but it wasn't really good. They were kind of slow toward the end. And outside of like an allowance, has never run in the exacta. So it's hard to get really excited about McAfee at 3-1. So I'm going to go for a little bit of a crazy price here. Give me the number 8, Cuvino, 12-1 on the morning line. I don't want to take any of the favorites. If I did take a favorite, it'd be McAfee, but I want better than 7-2. And this is a horse that has a lot of late pace. I thought was okay in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, ran okay in the allowance in the next one, has been getting a little bit better with each one of these starts. I just wanted to take a shot with someone who I think sets up well into this pace. So give me a Curvino here, the 8 horse, Aaron. Did you consider it at all?
I did consider a Curvino, and then I stopped because I think he kind of sucks and I just couldn't get there with him. I mean, look, I get what you're trying to do though, because they all kind of suck, right? I think it's like this. If you believe Clever Again can get the distance, I do think he is the one, but I'm with you. I don't see it. But because before he got body checked into the rail, the reason why he was in all that mess is he was backing up into horses badly. Mm-hmm. And that was like at the mile marker. He had nothing left. I don't see how the pace is going to be all that much different, or the setup's going to be all that much different in this race. Now, it's going to be different. There's worse horses chasing him, but I think a lot of them would have passed even the Preakness. Well, I mean, they all did, but again, he got body checked. So I don't blame him for finishing last, but still, yeah, to the point, I get what you're trying to do. The problem was, like, I looked at Curvino a while. I couldn't find a race that he's run in the past that can win. That's where the problem was.
Yeah, that's fair. There isn't one that you would need to improve, and that's why you're getting 12-1. This is an interesting betting race. I am probably going to end up playing Curvino, Chunk of Gold, and Clever Again in a try, and just see if I can get McAfee out of there, because he is the favorite that I like the least of those three. Don't like Moplex sitting there at 6-1. I think that trip's going to be very difficult for him with Clever Again in there, and especially being on the outside. So Curvino, the number 8 for me, 12-1 on the morning line. Aaron going with number 2, Chunk of Gold, 7-2 on the morning line. I'll probably have a 2-6-8 try box here just to see if we can spice it up. And if Curvino doesn't get all the way to the top, still able to cash out on the race. If you want to bet the Ohio Derby or the Chicago Stakes, which we'll talk about here in a second, or any other race this weekend, head over to firstbet.com and take your betting to the next level. Sign up at firstbet.com today. That's the number 1, STBET.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers, win or lose, for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today over at firstbet.com. I love me some rebates, Aaron. Unfortunately, California, not a rebate state, but I do love me some rebates. It's great when you're able to get those back. Makes it a lot easier to be betting the races. And FirstBet, one of the few sites that actually offers rebates to everybody who is in rebate state. So make sure to check that out. Now let's head over to the Chicago Stakes at Churchill Downs. And, you know, we talked about the Ohio Derby and some of the horses in there and how we felt about them. Very different feeling about the Chicago Stakes. This is a banger, Aaron. We got some good horses here going 7 furlongs over that Churchill Downs dirt for fillies and mares. Vava, your favorite at 3-1, one of my old favorites as well. I'm sorry, Emery's your favorite at 5-2. Vava, the second choice here at 3-1, tells you what I think of Emery in this spot. My main squeeze there at 5-1 as well. Really interesting race here. I kind of like a price, so I like that. Where are you going on top?
Yeah, I think we're both going to go with a little bit of a price. I don't know that you like what I like. But yeah, I'm with you. Let's talk about the favorites for a second. Emery, I'm with you. Listen, haven't been able to get the job done, right? In races, that maybe even less than this caliber at times. The number 5, Vava, won this race last year. But that's the last race she's won. She hasn't won since. So, and Vava, at her best, will win. I am 100% confident if Baba shows up at their best race, she will win this race. But is she a little bit over the hill? I don't know. She just hasn't looked that good the last couple of times. So I went away from her. I was between two horses, the number 9, My Main Squeeze, and the number 10, Clarette Beret. I went with the number 10, Clarette Beret, on top in this one. 6-1 here on the morning line. I did not like this horse all that well until Safi Joseph Jr. got a hold of this horse. And the last race kind of did what horses do the first time they run for Safi Joseph. They kind of just improved quite a bit. Now, the last race was at Gulfstream Park. It was just a small race, a small little stakes race, not anything like this. But, you know, she won by 19 lengths right now. And she got a speed figure that is very competitive with this group. I also like, yes, she's drawn outside, but it's only one turn and it's 7 furlongs. So I'm not worried about the outside draw. I actually think the outside draw is going to be good for her. I think she can stock the pace. Now, can she kick on facing tougher company? I do think that is a legit question. But I think the 10 with Safi Joseph's second start, I think, looks very tough. And also, here's the big thing. Safi Joseph trains down in South Florida. If he thought this horse was just okay or just a decent horse, there's plenty of spots he probably could have found for her down in South Florida that would have made sense. The fact that he brought her up here to run in this one tells me that Safi Joseph really likes this horse. So give me the number 10, Clarette Beret, on top in this one.
Yeah, the move to Kentucky is definitely something for Safi here, because this horse does have a lot of different conditions that she could still run in. There's a lot of spots that she could be running at Gulfstream as a heavy favorite and decent purses, yet she chose this grade two race, the Chicago Stakes here. And you mentioned, like, Emery, this might be a step up in class, but running in grade ones, this is a very tough grade two, the way it drew. Vava, she loves Churchill 4 for 5 over the track. She loves the distance of 7 furlongs. She's 5 for 9 at the distance. She's can be ultra tough. And it's interesting. She's 5, but with these fillies and mares, sometimes 5 is when you start to see that regression. Now, before I say that, look, Cherie DeVoe, very good trainer, gets Ired Ortiz to ride, who's ridden this horse the last 6 times out. That was the first race off a layoff in the Grade 1 Derby City Distaff. I'm willing to give her one more before I just say, okay, this is who she is now, because you often see horses improve quite a bit second off the layoff. I looked at Clarette Beret for a long time as well. I just couldn't get to it at 6-1 for this jump up in class. Although, again, second time Safi, you can make the argument as to why you're going to see another progression, and that's probably what it takes to be able to win this race. I don't like Emery at 5-2. I'm going to go with the 4-horse Brightwork here, 10-1. I'm a sucker for this horse, so I will just get out in front of that. I have played this horse a couple times. I hit a big pick 5 with this horse, beating Ways and Means up at Saratoga as a single. This is one of those spots where I kind of like the fact that we're jumping back into graded company for John Ortiz. You get Brian Hernandez Jr. riding. The first time out, off a long break, first time against older, I thought there were a lot of excuses, especially in a race which had a very, very fast pace, which she chased. And the horses in front of her held, and she still ran well and didn't get beat that much by those top-end horses. Now you get second off a layoff, second in the 4-year-old season, two things that I absolutely love, for a horse that's very good at 7 furlongs. Won the spinaway at 7 furlongs over Ways and Means back at Saratoga, one of the major 2-year-old races up there for the fillies. Now you get an opportunity to stretch out to 7, which I think is her best distance. We saw her run in 2-turn races toward the end of her 2-year-old season, and get a chance to have a little bit more foundation under her. And the price is right. Like, if she runs the way that I believe she is capable of, you're never seeing 10-1 on Brightwork again. So this is your opportunity to try and get her at that price if she is as good as I think. In a very competitive field, I could make a case for the number 11, Zalatos. I could make a case for the number 9, My Main Squeeze. You obviously can make a case for the 4, the 5, the 1. So really, really deep competition here. Did you consider the 4 Brightwork at all, Aaron?
Absolutely. I think it's a great pick. It's one I had my eye on and almost did for a while. Listen, we've seen her. You mentioned it. We've seen her jump up and run big time races. I mean, to beat Ways and Means that day was a big time race. I mean, we've seen this horse come out and run huge. And I think the pace setup is going to be perfect for her as well. I kind of vision her to kind of be with my pick as well. The 10, just kind of sitting off, kind of waiting patiently. It looks like it's a fast pace, and we're going to make a move and get first run into the leaders there with the 2 horses we picked. So, yeah, number 4, Brightwork, is a horse I'm 100% going to have on the tickets. I think she's got a huge shot here. And look, I like the price, and I kind of think you're going to get somewhere in the range of that price because of how deep the field is. And the other big thing, and you mentioned it for Brightwork, coming that second race off the layoff is going to help. You know, in the winning colors, I was what she ran last time. I went back and watched that race. That was definitely just, let's get a race under her belt. You know, she's going to run much better in the spot. Now, is much better good enough to win? That is the only question mark because the field is tough. But yeah, I like the pick. I think it's a very good pick. I would not be shocked at all if she gets the job done. And I would throw in one more, just if you're looking for a long shot, the number 8, Pigalle. I think that horse is interesting as well. Coming second off the layoff, ran in an easier race last time out and got the job done for a very, very good trainer that's very underrated. Look out for the number 8, Pigalle, in this spot too. Another one, I think this race is going to set up really well for her. 12-1, I think you'll get every bit of that as well.
I bet you get more than 12-1. She's 3-for-7 at Churchill Downs, hit the second place spot twice as well. So hit the exact 5 out of 7 races at Churchill. She needs to improve. But you mentioned it. The pace sets up really well for her to be able to come off it. That's one of those I'm interested underneath. If we're playing tries, if we're playing supers, I think the 8 is a horse you include the 3rd, the 4th spot. Would be surprised if she wins the race because it feels like she has to improve a lot and like 3 or 4 other horses have to not run their A-plus race. I would expect we're going to get someone who runs that big race and able to beat her. From that perspective, I mean, Zalito's the 11 with Flavian Pratt aboard, 8-1. Is that a horse you're interested in the exotics? Because who do you leave off here? Because Emery, well, I don't think Emery wins. It's hard for me to say Emery doesn't hit the board because the horse likes to run well and is a horse that sticks around even when there is a quicker pace. So Emery's one of those where, like, I don't think she wins, but I think 2nd or 3rd is definitely in the cards if she runs a race. So what do you do with horses like Zalito's and like Emery, who you don't like on top, but both clearly have the ability to win this race?
Yeah, Emery is a real problem because you're right. She is a horse that's kind of hung around and got 2nd. A couple times in races. Last time out, we got 5th, but again, I don't know. I think the rail draw is not great for her. I would say that first of all. So I kind of am for just kind of leaving her off and hoping that, you know, we can beat a favorite out of the try here because I think you can. I have more. I'm kind of with you. Like, I have more faith in Vava. Vava would be a horse I would use because I know if she can get back to maybe not even her best, but somewhat close to her best. She can definitely win, right? I don't really see a recent race for Emery that can win. And so, therefore, I think, hey, let's try to get 3 or 4 horses to beat her and get her out of the try. So I would play Vava as a short price, My Main Squeeze, Brightwork, Colorette Beret. Those are the 4, like, top 4 that I've got interest in. Zlos, the 11, I really like this horse, but I don't know if this class level is for her. We've kind of seen her win some lower races and do it pretty nicely. I'm just worried this may be a little too tough a competition for her.
Yeah, I kind of agree. 4, 5, and the 9 for me. So Brightwork on top of the 4, but I'll play a 4, 5, 9 trifecta. And if you are looking for a trifecta, why not try out the G-Bank trifecta here, introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You receive $200 cash back on your G-Bank Signature Visa credit card, $100 in a deposit match bonus from First Bet, and also VEASAN will complete that trifecta with a subscription through August 21st, 2026, a $200 value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, VEASAN, and First Bet. Head over to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VEASAN.com/GBank to check this one out. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to a request to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Make sure you check out those terms and conditions. Now, Aaron, I love drafts. I always love drafts. We do drafts all the time. I'm excited to do this draft specifically because it's who's going to win the 2025 Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a more fun way to talk about who are the best older horses and throw out some of the odds right now attached to those horses. I flipped a coin before the show, and unfortunately, you are the lucky winner. So you get the first pick here in the snake draft. I will look to see if I can find odds live as well as we go through this. There are a couple offshores I've seen with odds. However, I've not seen any sports books yet put these up. So keep an eye out there. So Aaron, with the first pick in the 2025 Breeders' Cup Classic draft, who you got?
You're lucky that I get to go first because you flipped a coin without me knowing. And it's like, well, if it was you, then okay. Am I just supposed to believe that? I would have debated. All right. First pick of the draft, all right, and I think I didn't think I, even 2 weeks ago, I didn't think I would be picking this horse first, but I've got to go with Sovereignty with the first pick in the draft. So here's the deal. He looks like a horse that a mile and a quarter is perfect. I mean, he just won the Derby and the Belmont. He won the Belmont under a gallop going a mile and a quarter. He looks like a monster right now to me. And could he get better between now and November? Yes, absolutely. That's what three-year-olds usually do. They improve throughout the year. If he just can kind of show up to the Breeders' Cup and run what he did in the Belmont, he's already well within the realm of conversation. If you get this horse to improve a little bit, say at the same rate that the three-year-olds from last year improved, I don't think they're beating him. So I'm going to take Sovereignty with the first pick.
I don't hate it right now. Favorite at 4-1. I would not bet it because of the 4-1 price. There's a lot that can happen between now and the Breeders' Cup, but was number one on my board. So I do agree with you. I think Sovereignty would be the top pick right now. The idea of him progressing in the second half of the year makes him very, very scary in a Breeders' Cup Classic type situation. You know, Bill Mott would love to win that one at Del Mar as well. Second and third picks for me. Kind of happy I actually got second and third picks here because I was assuming you take Sovereignty and I wanted to take two of the older horses. I'm going to leave Journalism to you if you want Journalism on the comeback here. I'm going to take the most forgotten horse in the world right now. Give me Forever Young. The Japanese horse that came over, ran third in the Derby last year, has been progressing very well. I thought ran pretty good in the Breeders' Cup Classic last year. Very, very talented horse who is going to break through on American soil one of these days. I will take Forever Young as the second pick here. He is currently 10-1 if you're looking for that. And third pick for me, I will take Fierceness, who I'm going to forgive for the Met Mile. It was a mess. If you look at the best horse going two turns last year, I think it was Fierceness over Sierra Leone. People may disagree, but the top tier Fierceness effort, I think, is good enough to beat this field if we don't see a big progression from Sovereignty. So second and third pick for me are going to be Forever Young and Fierceness. Fierceness at 7-1. Wouldn't bet it, but definitely want to make sure he's on the team here. Aaron, you get 4 and 5. Who are you taking?
Well, you just broke my heart because you took Forever Young, and I don't care about that. But then you took Fierceness, and I'm like, oh, boy. I was hoping you would forget about him, but I knew better. I'll echo just real quick what you said about Fierceness. He lost in the Met Mile. I don't hold anything against him in that race. Raging Torrent won that race. He's really hard to pass when he gets to the front. And I really think Fierceness needs longer than a mile. So I think that's a really good pick. Forever Young, the other horse you picked, I've been there, done that with him last year. I bet him to win the Classic last year. He got waxed. He had no excuse. So I'm done with him. All right. Okay, fourth pick, I'm going to take Nisos. This is a horse trained by Bob Baffert. Back in his three-year-old season, everybody thought he was going to win the Kentucky Derby, and he got hurt. He was gone like 500 days. It felt like he was gone forever, over a year. Came back, ran a really nice third in a really tough race over the slop at Churchill Downs. Last time out, just blew out a very easy field there at Santa Anita. He is going to the San Diego Handicap next, so he is stretching out to two turns, and that is a prep race for the Pacific Classic, which is a mile and a quarter. I don't know if he wants to run that far, but if he does, he will be very tough. So give me Nisos in the number four spot. I think he is kind of the wild card. We don't know who he is quite yet. We're going to find out. I know he's got a ton of talent. In the fifth spot, I am going to take Journalism. I think Journalism ran three extremely good races and only was able to win one of them during the Triple Crown. But like Thomas, you said it, a lot of things can happen between now and the Breeders' Cup Classic in November. What if Sovereignty kind of has a little injury and he's out? All of a sudden Journalism looks a lot better, right? Because he's beaten everybody else with Sovereignty. So I'll take Journalism at number five. I also think he's a horse that will improve a little bit. You know, this horse is by Curlin. Curlin got better as the three-year-old season went on. Curlin won the Breeders' Cup Classic in 2007. Guess what? After running in all three legs of the Triple Crown and only winning one, and that one race was the Preakness, Curlin had a huge summer and then, like I said, won the Classic. So maybe Journalism could do something similar. So Nisos and Journalism for me at 4 and 5.
Nisos 10-1 right now on the board. If you want to bet Nisos, bet him before the San Diego, because if he romps and then romps in the Pacific Classic, and I think if he romps the San Diego, he does romp in the Pacific Classic, he ends up your favorite second choice, somewhere in that range when we do get to the Breeders' Cup Classic there. So if you like Nisos, I think now would actually be the time to bet him, although obviously it's a Bob Baffert horse. A lot can go wrong between now and Breeders' Cup weekend, but you're not getting 10-1 if he performs the way that I think Aaron expects him to. Did not make my top 10, Nisos, by the way. So that one you could have taken with the last pick. I would not have gotten there. Coming back here, fourth and fifth pick for me, sixth and seventh overall. Give me White of Barrio. The other forgotten older horse here, who I believe is a very good runner, has won the Breeders' Cup Classic in California before. I don't fully trust Journalism. I don't trust Baeza. I would have taken Sovereignty early. You took him off the board. So I'm going to lean on some of the older horses here. So give me White of Barrio. And then I'm going to go way off script, Aaron, because I like to go way off script on these drafts. Number five on my list was Torpedo Anna. So I'm going to take Torpedo Anna. Give me the filly. We'll see what she's able to do here. She ran huge against Fierceness last year in the Travers. I'll take a shot with Torpedo Anna here with my eighth overall pick. Why are you laughing at me?
Come on. Last week, she finished last time we saw her, and they took her straight to the vet because they were like, something's got to be wrong. Again, nothing was wrong with her. I don't know. I think she's kind of washed at this point. So
I like that nothing was wrong with her. I like that. Dude, sometimes horses run too bad to believe. She's going to have a big summer. I wouldn't be shocked if McPeak goes crazy and throws her in the race if she wins out heading into it.
I don't know. I don't know. She didn't really come back looking all that great. I hate saying these bad things because I love Torpedo Anna, but I don't think this is the draft that you take her in. That's all I'm saying.
I'm taking a shot. It was between her and a horse you're never picking in the next two picks. So I took her over that horse that will be named as the 10th pick. All right, who you got here? Eighth and ninth pick in the draft.
So you're telling me you've got a pick that's crazier than Torpedo Anna coming up? Is that what you just said?
I am very confident you will not be taking this horse the next two spots.
Okay. All right. I was just making sure I understood that. All right. For two picks for me. Listen, I'm talking Torpedo Anna and whoever you're picking at 10 right into the winner's circle. So make sure to clip this. But all right, two
box
picks
them up,
me.
Baby.
Yeah, I know, right? Everybody's like, okay, I'm going to write these down. For me, I'm going to go Mind Frame with my next pick. Look, I think Fierceness is a better horse than Mind Frame. I just want to say that right off the bat. So for the top Pletcher runners, I would rather have Fierceness, but I don't have that option. I'll take Mind Frame, though. Look, I think he's a horse that has a good deal of talent. I don't think it's elite talent, but I do think he has a good deal of talent. He's one that I think will get better here. He's a four-year-old getting ready to run in bigger races. I do think he will get a little bit better. So, yeah, listen, I think I'm okay with taking Mind Frame. He needs to mature mentally. I think that's his biggest problem. Every time when he rounds the corner and turns for home, you do kind of look at it and say, you know what? He looks like a monster. And then he just kind of drifts to the right, drifts to the left. It's kind of like when we were talking about Sandman. He's like, he's dodging in, invisible traffic out there, basically. That's kind of what Mind Frame does a little bit as well. But I'll take him. Hopefully he kind of matures. Boy, the last pick, we're getting down to the bottom of the barrel here. I'm looking at my list. There's a lot of horses still left. Do I want to go crazy with one? I've got inside info on one, but I don't think he's going to win the Classic. Okay, I will go.
Last pick.
I'll just take Baeza. I'll take Baeza because he's a late foal, right? People thought he would improve in the Belmont, and it may have been a little too soon. I do think John Sheriffs is really good about being conservative and waiting till the biggest race to get that horse to pop, which I think that kind of happened in the Kentucky Derby. I think we saw his pop, and it was pretty good. You know, again, he needs help. He's got to get a little bit better to catch those horses in front of him. I'll take Baeza with the last pick because I do believe there's more to him. I do believe he will improve. So I'll go Baeza.
So you took three 3-year-olds, mm-hmm. and you didn't take the one that I think is the one you should have picked. Give me Burnham Square as the last pick here. Burnham Square is going to eat. I'm telling you, it was down in Florida.
He jumps in a wagon.
Ran well
maybe.
Down there. Ran well down there. Goes in the Derby. I thought ran huge in the Derby. I'm like the East Avenue lost, whatever. East Avenue got to go gate to wire in that race. Burnham Square, watch out for him. He gets a fair race with a full field. I think he is ultra dangerous. So I get Burnham Square the last pick, 35-1. I'm considering, 35-1 is not big enough. Let's be honest. We're still 6 months out. That's not big enough price. I think Burnham Square should have been the second 3-year-old off this list. I think Journalism and Baeza, they're not going to be able to do it.
Neither's Burnham right. Square. That's
right. Burnham Square look, flag, planning it right now, baby. Let's go.
If we were talking about, well, okay, I'll be positive about it because I will say this. I think the Haskell, a race we talked about just a minute ago, that race for Burnham Square, I think that looks really good for him. I think that's a really good spot. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be tough. We'll preview it in a few weeks. And I think you're going to probably single him the way you're talking about him. And I think I'm going to pick him as well. He looks good in that race. The problem is, I still think I like him as a horse, but I still think there is so much improvement that's got to be done there that I'm just not sure that's going to happen. I guess it's not I laugh. It's not the worst pick because if he does improve like 15 links, he could do it.
So you would take Burnham Square over Torpedo Anna is what you're saying. That was the worst pick when I took Torpedo Anna. Yeah.
Well, he didn't all go right, to, like, the emergency
way
room,
too early. So. Way too early Breeders' Cup draft here. Aaron goes with Sovereignty, Nysos, yeah. Journalism, Mindframe, Baeza. My team ends up with Fierceness, Forever Young, White of Barrio, Torpedo Anna, Burnham Square. We will check back on this the weekend before the Breeders' Cup. So we have to make sure we save this one. We got a super producer back there who's going to clip it out for us. And we'll have come back with this one so we can see how bad we did, honestly, doing this draft so early from the Breeders' Cup. Because 6 months in horse racing is a very, very long time. Now let's look to something that's a little bit sooner, Aaron. Our weekend's best bets. We got to move over to what we're looking at this weekend, what horses we want to target and we want to play. I've got two from Churchill, but I will let you kick it off here with your two favorite plays of the weekend.
Yeah, so I'm going to go. Let's go. Where do we want to go first? I'll go Belmont. Belmont, the big A Saturday, a race three, the number seven, Macaw will be who I put on top here and who's a horse I want to play. Last time out, I ran in at this level, non-winners of two, and won by 3.5. Now we're doing non-winners of three, and all that means is non-winners of three races, right? So it's a restricted claiming race. Looked very good last time out. First time dropping to this level. Was able to get the job done pretty easily. Had been running okay against tougher horses. Two races back, ran in a $30,000 claiming race. Got third, only beaten four lengths. And like I said, you drop down, you win easily. I think this horse drops down again and wins easily again. You've got Linda Rice, one of the best claiming trainers up at NYRA. So number seven, Macaw, in the third race of Belmont at Big A. That will be the first one. Let's see. You want me to do both of them here, Samaj? Second one, Gulfstream Park. Let's go to Gulfstream Park here. A track we talked about earlier with a synthetic track. This is not a race over the synthetic surface, but Gulfstream Park, race number four, the number seven Militia is who I'll put on top. One of my other best plays here and takes the biggest class drop in all of racing. The horse had been running against Maiden Special Weight Company, will now drop down to Maiden Claiming Company. Like I said, the biggest drop in all of racing. $35,000 Maiden Claimer here. This is a horse that's going to be a little bit more forwardly placed in this spot when facing weaker runners. And that's usually why a horse will improve when they drop down in class. Sometimes horses naturally just aren't that fast and they run against better horses and it's very tough for them to compete. But then they run against weaker horses and they're more forwardly placed and they just are a lot more comfortable and they run a lot better. Very good trainer as well. Kolaris has this horse. Very good in these kind of situations. So Gulfstream Park, race four. Give me the number seven, Militia.
Did not pick either on top. So we'll see what happens there. You're going a little off the board from the horses that I ticket. So we'll see what happens there. I'm going to head to Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs Saturday card specifically. Like two horses, both on the turf. We'll start out with the opener. And this is a late start, 6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, Churchill. Give me the number one, Proctor Street here. This is a horse that is 8-1 on the morning line. Ran very well at Horseshoe Indy, broke the maiden, came back at Saratoga, won there, jumped up into stakes company, and went a little crazy from a pace perspective. Wasn't really expecting Proctor Street to be that close to the pace. I expect we're going to be a little bit further off it in a race that does have quite a bit of pace here, the first at Churchill. And oh, by the way, the price is right. We're getting 8-1 here. Brendan Walsh trains this horse. He's got two in the race. This is the one that I like a little bit more than the seven horse, who's 7-2 on the morning line for Walsh, gets Pratt aboard there. The numbers all fit as a three-year-old with all these older horses. If you have any improvement from the one Proctor Street, I think that Proctor Street is should be the favorite or right in the contention for the top spot in the race. 8-1 there on the one horse Proctor Street first race at Churchill Downs on Saturday. Let's fast forward a couple races, head to race number four, going to go 5.5 furlongs on the turf course. Not as big of a price here, but the number two Bling sitting on the board at 2-1, I think is a monster in this spot. The only other horse I even considered was the 4 Accomplished Girl, who is going to try and make the lead and go gate to wire. But Bling has some tactical speed and is able to absolutely kick home on the close. The one knock on Bling, she is 0-5 over this Churchill Downs track. So that would be the one big concern with her. But if you go back and you look at the prices in those races, she was never really a short price here, so I do like Bling quite a bit here. Going 5.5 furlongs on the Churchill Downs turf, race number 4 there. Also, she did win last time she was on the Churchill Downs course. She got disqualified, so at least we know she can do it. She just needs to make sure she doesn't bump anybody as she gets the job on there. So 2 for me, the 1 horse at Churchill Downs Saturday, race number 1, Proctor Street, and the 4 horse, or the 2 horse, Bling, in the 4th race at Churchill Downs. I saw you were nodding on the Bling one. Did you like Bling?
Yeah, I like Bling, and you hadn't mentioned it, so I was going to mention it, once you kicked it to me, that she is 0-5, but she did win. Like, she did cross the wire first last time out. So, yeah, I think Bling wheels back in a really logical spot, same kind of spot she was in last time out, where she did, like I said, cross the wire first. So, yeah, really like that one. I like the pick of your horse in the first race, too. Proctor Street, was that the number 1 horse? That's how I had it wrote down. Yeah, Proctor Street. That's a horse I don't think will be 8-1, but I do think will be like 4 or 5-1, and I think that's good value. I have that horse on the tickets as well, so I didn't put the horse on top. I have Waves of Mischief, the 7, on top, but I had Proctor Street right there in second. So, I think they're both good picks here, especially in the 4th race there. I really like Bling.
Yeah, I'll be 1-7 most likely and pick 5s in that first race at Churchill, because I'll just take the 2 yep. Walshes and move along, because I do think those are the 2 best horses in the race. If you want to bet those races, if you want to bet the Chicago Stakes, you want to bet the Ohio Derby, head over to firstbet.com, promo code VSIN200 if you want to sign up for a new account, get a $200 bonus paid back in rebates. Win or lose, every bet you get something back, so check that out. Aaron, fun little VSIN at the track here. Got to talk about our Breeders' Cup Classic picks, who we like in the older groups. Hit some of the news early, and then we'll see what happens with the synthetic debate. Interested to see how people feel about Saratoga possibly adding a synthetic track. Any parting thoughts here before we take off for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like more of the debates like that. Unfortunately, we thought the same way on both of the or on that topic. So we'll argue more maybe later in the show. But yeah, final thoughts is this is a really good weekend of racing. It's spread out kind of everywhere. So just kind of, pick your track and have fun. And look, like I said, I love when you got 5 or 6 tracks you can pick from and they all have good racing. So it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a fun one. We got Ascot going. You've got Belmont at the Big A. You've got Churchill Downs with a good card. Gulfstream Park with a good card as well, as we lead up to both Saratoga and Del Mar. For Aaron Holtzman, I'm Mike Somich. Thank you very much for checking out this episode of VSiN at the Track. We'll be back next Thursday, same time, same place.